And here we go. Yes, you're listening to Long Gospel on this Rumination Tuesday on September the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And yes, it's a hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. And with us is our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing this fine day?
I'm doing really good. I don't like the snow, but outside
it's like summer here.
Oh.
I mean, it's technically fall, but...
Well, I'm talking about snow up north.
Oh, snow up north. Oh, yes.
Alaska's still got snow. And
yeah, I know somebody that's... their home is up in Montana. They just got some snow up there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, they'll like it for skiing. This is a short hymn. And before we started, I thought I'd have to ask you a question. I can't figure this out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's a toughie. You saw the protesters or heard about them in St. Louis.
Yes.
And they're throwing bricks and...
Yeah, oh, terrible. Terrible.
Ice at the police and such.
It's terrible.
Okay. They arrested them, and hardly anybody was charged anything. Why don't they charge them with attempted murder and put them in jail for 15 years? If I threw a brick...
You could hurt somebody. You could hurt or kill somebody.
Kill somebody.
Absolutely, yes.
And they get away with it.
Tom.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Don't get me started.
No, that's what I was going to do. I was going to get you started. Because I don't know whether or not you realize, did Luther write this hymn?
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did.
And translated by our good friend Catherine Winkworth.
Yeah, she just is a great translator.
This is a good Luther hymn.
Yes.
Short.
It's one of the shortest ones, for sure. And there were really difficult times that were occurring. I don't know if you remember this. Luther died, 1546? And
right.
1541, yeah. King Ferdinand suffered a severe defeat by the Mohammedan Turks at Budapest. And Luther even mentioned that in correspondence during this time. Plus, in October, I didn't know this, a hurricane destroyed the fleet of Emperor Charles V near Algiers.
Wow. No kidding. Algiers.
Yes.
It's near, Africa, right? Off the coast of Africa?
I believe, yes. Yeah. And so, in a letter to the pastors, when he was confined at Wittenberg, remember doing the translation?
Yes.
He urged devout prayers after the sermon. And this is interesting. He frequently stressed the importance of prayers by the children. And I think we're going to be seeing this. Some people think he did the tune. But others make a point that it does sound pretty close to a 15th century form of Veni Redemptor Gentium. And also to the antiphon, they call it, Da Pacem Domini. So we're not really sure whether or not he wrote the tune, but he often would take familiar tunes and apply them. I remember when I was at the SEM, one of the profs was saying that, yeah, he would go to the bars and take those tunes. Well, that's
no,
not really
that's
true.
Not true. That's a misunderstanding of that term bar.
Yes.
Well, and I can't explain it, but I know it's a misunderstanding of it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that was Gemütlichkeit.
Yes.
You know, a great time of getting together and such. So I believe there's only three verses, even the original German. And so if you would be so kind as to read the first stanza.
Okay, gladly. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your son and bring to naught all he has done.
That is a tremendous Reformation principle, the first line. How do we keep steadfast
in his word? Absolutely.
You know, this is why I have a real problem. If a disaster strikes in a high school, they send counselors in, they say. You know, say there's a shooting or a fire or something. Those counselors aren't permitted to use the word of God.
Isn't that sad? That's really sad.
Yeah. In fact, that's starting to appear even in the military.
Right, I realize that. You know, some of the chaplains have to be very cautious.
Well, this is ridiculous.
I mean, I know it is. But yeah. It's the day and age in which we live, Tom.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's part of what he's talking about here. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your son.
Now,
you know, what better way to try to wrest it from his son than by denying people access to the word?
Okay, assuming we have children listening, when's the last time you use the word rest?
Okay, wrestle.
Yeah, is that what it means?
Yeah, yeah.
That they would wrestle the kingdom from the son.
Wrest the kingdom from your son. Tug it. Wrestle it.
In fact, that's probably part of the reason why this is for this Sunday, because these Pharisees still haven't learned. Never ask Jesus a question.
Oh, I know. It's comical, isn't it?
It really
is a funny thing. He's, okay, I'll answer your question if you answer my question.
And, yes.
And they talk among themselves. You can just hear them mumbling with each other and, we don't know. You know, the cop-out question. We don't know the answer.
Yeah, as to whether...
Then neither will I give you the answer of your question.
The baptism of John, from where did it come, was the question.
Yeah.
And they were stuck because the people really believed he was from God.
Absolutely.
But they had criticized him, so they would be hypocrites if they said, oh, yes, he's from God. And so they were stuck. And so they looked at him and said, we do not know.
Yeah, cop out.
Jesus says, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these. You see, it's unfortunate we don't have Jesus here all the time because nobody could wrestle him.
He is here all the time.
Yes, but a lot of times.
And nobody will wrest it from him.
He's not heard.
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
I just heard a sermon. It wasn't on a Lutheran radio station. It wasn't by a Lutheran. And he was talking about how if you want peace in your life, you really need to obey the commandments of God. And so,
good luck.
Oh, I know. I mean, that's like saying if you really want to save money in getting to Chicago, don't use a plane, use your arms. I mean, this is ridiculous. Nobody can fly by themselves. Unbelievable. So that... there is so much ridiculous nonsense heard in sermons on many stations today.
Yes, I know.
Because they're stuck under the law. They think that works make a difference. Yeah, I was asked in a recent, they heard I was a Lutheran pastor. And so here's my favorite reply. They say, well, what's unique about Lutheranism? How are you different than Roman Catholics? And they say, oh, our teaching is your works make no difference as to whether you go to heaven or hell.
Yeah, that's...
And they look at me and say,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
Because they live in a world, and that's a temporal world, where works make a huge difference as to whether you pass the next grade, whether you get a promotion, who you get as your spouse, and all this sort of thing. This is how absolutely irrational Christianity is.
It's a free gift. Salvation is an absolutely free gift.
Yes. I've said this before. A lady once phoned and said, you Lutherans make it too easy. And I said, ask Jesus how easy it was.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. They say it's cheap grace. Yeah, it wasn't cheap for him.
No, it wasn't cheap for him, and it's not cheap for us either. Until that change of your heart, creating me a clean heart. I mean, David even says it back in the Old Testament that he looks to God to do what he's unable to do. And a lot of people don't look at God anymore. They look at themselves. So I think this is really good. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. How would you understand the word steadfast there?
Steadfast. Immovable.
Yes.
Immovable.
Well said. Yes. That's a good one. That you're not going to be moved away from the truth of God. I don't know if you recall the first time, because you went to St. Louis Sem 2 during the, well, it wasn't
right
quite
after,
as liberal. Yeah,
right after the walkout, yes.
But can you imagine me sitting in class and hearing that there was no real Adam and Eve, they were monkeys, and that they went across on boats on the Red Sea, down on dry land, And I'm looking at these grown men saying these things. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because my parents were very strong in the faith. We often would talk about the Bible at dinner time and this sort of thing. But I can hardly believe that you had grown men talking like that.
I know.
And now they've joined a church, the ELCA, where two male pastors can get married.
Oh, I know.
And they don't see anything wrong with that.
That can really happen, right? Is that according to their
rules? No, it did happen recently.
It has actually happened.
Yeah,
two male pastors got married.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God help us. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God help
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word.
Yep.
Curb those who would by deceit or sword wrest the kingdom from thy son.
And that's deceit.
Yes, that is deceit.
Yeah, it's... If you're a member of that church, don't be surprised if your children come home thinking that homosexual activity is okay.
Right, right. And think of the harm done those kids.
Oh, yeah. Talk about...
By example like that.
And bring to naught all he has done in their baptism. Yeah,
that's
right. You can destroy the faith of a person who's been baptized.
And Jesus warns it would be better those that have... That have caused one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble. It would be better for that person if he had a millstone tied around his neck and drowned in the depth of the sea, rather than to cause one of those little ones to stumble like that.
I'm just convinced that pastors are not strong enough in the law when a congregation goes off the tightrope.
Yeah.
And they do something wrong, and then they try to defend themselves or this sort of thing. And all you have to do is get the official publication of the ELCA, and you'll see it all the way through there, again and again, them doing things that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God, and yet they're defending themselves. And it shows that the Holy Spirit isn't there. And that congregation, I tell you, that's why on Monday, I don't know if you look closely at the Ezekiel passage, but when a... This is God. When a righteous person, righteous, turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Now, the example I gave, I can't believe how many programs are on the air now about spouses killing their other spouse, murdering them. And then the person who does the murdering is often considered to be the victim. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they say, well, she was such a nice and loving person. The last one I saw last night, she killed her husband because she had left him for another man, and she wanted total control over the child. And he kept coming and getting the child to visit and such. So her boyfriend shot her former husband in the head.
Where do you get these movies? Were they movies?
No. This was
what kind of a channel are you watching, Tom?
It was on a regular channel, and guess what? It was People Magazine Investigate.
Oh boy!
You know, now if you read People, they're always gossiping and stuff, and boy, they love these murder things. But another one. She couldn't make enough money, so she became an escort.
Oh,
and her mother, see, here's where the problem is.
And she's made out to be an honorable person. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And what happened, her mother, after she was murdered, her daughter, because of being an escort by one of the guys, and they still haven't found the murderer.
This is a true story?
Oh, yeah. These are all true stories. People Magazine investigates. Yeah. True stories. The mother said, I didn't want to say anything to her lest she wouldn't come and visit me. And I'm sitting there listening to that, and I remember Jesus' words to Peter once, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, if you allow your children to fall into the devil's hands, and here it is, and you are not steadfast in the word, guess what? You can bring to naught all that Jesus
That's
has
right.
done for them. See, we don't believe like five-point Calvinists, once saved, always saved. You know, that's part of their tulip.
Tulip.
Yeah.
Can you give me the acrostic, what it means, tulip?
Well, T is total depravity.
Total depravity.
Yeah. L is limited grace.
What's
I is irresistible. Irresistible. I'm going to let you do that one. Irresistible. And then P is Perseverance of the Saints. That's the one we're talking about that they can never. But U is, what is U? T-U. I always forget that one.
Yeah, I can never remember that one either.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
But I remember Tulip.
Yes. And boy, how'd you like to have a God that limited grace? In fact, now I don't want you to answer this because I don't want to make you have a wrong answer here.
Oh, yes, right.
I got an email on Friday because I don't. Didn't know the answer.
You're always watching out for me, right?
Yes, I'm always watching out for you. And this individual had read some stuff from other Lutheran pastors on the question of, is it true that though God hates the sin, he loves the sinner? And these other Lutheran pastors, part of a group that I think are too far right.
Too far right.
Yeah. They said, no, he hates sinners. So I'm going to talk about that tomorrow.
Hmm. Oh, that should be good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I already said in the promo that I wouldn't have had enough time to answer it on Friday because I had calls coming in. But tomorrow I'm going to take the whole program. And
you tell him, Tom. Get him straight.
No. Lord, keep us steadfast in your
word.
Yeah, that's what's going to keep him straight. But, I'm going to wait till tomorrow on that. Stanza two, please.
Lord Jesus Christ, your power made known, make known, for you are Lord of lords alone. Defend your holy church that we may sing your praise eternally.
So, he's Lord of lords. How would you explain that to a child? What does that mean, Lord of lords?
He's over all.
What are the other lords?
All the higher powers, whether they be kings or presidents or teachers or policemen or whatever it may be, they're all subject to him.
Yeah, I would go even further than that on the basis of the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Right.
Which is another word, the word no other gods. It's small g.
Well, then you have to explain to the kid, you know, they think there's no other god anyway. So you got to explain, then you got to explain that there are other false gods that we make.
Like?
Well, like polishing your new sports car and every Sunday and not going to church.
Yeah.
Or watching a football game every Sunday instead of going to church or something like that.
Yeah,
or money. You know, money can be a god.
As they don't kneel for the...
Right, yes, that's right. Don't get me started on that either.
No, boy, I tell you.
That could be a whole program.
Well, that sure is. I don't mind. It would be like me as a pastor giving my point of view on politics in a sermon. If you're a foot... This is my opinion. You don't use what you're being paid for. If you want to do it outside of that, I don't have any problem with that. You can... Whatever, but when you pay to go see guys and your kid is sitting beside you and they're not standing.
That's a bad example.
Oh, it's terrible. And it shows how we have moved away from thinking from God's point of view to thinking from my point of view. My point of view is far more important.
Yeah. In the days of the judges, they did what was right in their own eyes.
In their own eyes. Very good. Yeah. Now, it was interesting, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys said, if they don't stand, they're not going to be part of my team.
Yeah, did you see what they did?
They
all knelt. They all knelt.
Before.
Before. And then when the... and everybody booed. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Everybody
right.
booed. And then when the national anthem came up, then they stood, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah. And that's interesting. You know, I still don't like it within the football.
Right.
They can do all their kneeling in the locker room or stuff like that. But again, this is not a pastoral point of view. In other words, if I had a member who would not stand, I'm not going to bring charges against them. You know, we're in an area of, what's that big word that we use?
Adiaphora.
Very good. Yes. Yeah, where it's not clear from the word of God. And so people may have a strong opinion. But some people have such a strong opinion at one game a fellow who had worked for the team for 30 years after they knelt. Yes.
Took a stadium
off his
worker.
Shirt, yep, and he quit.
Yes.
Yeah.
A stadium worker
that's
left,
right.
I heard.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's something. So this is going to be interesting.
And did you hear about that one Pittsburgh Steeler that came out of the tunnel?
No.
And the one single, he insisted on standing and putting his hand over his heart.
Oh, yeah?
He was a former Army Ranger.
Oh, wow.
Three tours of duty over in Afghanistan. And he insisted.
Right.
He insisted on standing. And have you heard that they have ordered more jerseys with his number on it than anyone else?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're already down and people watching. And I'm not interested in seeing football.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the best football players say their sons are never going to play the game.
Yeah.
Because of this. These owners have no... Lutheranism has such a good understanding of reality that any Lutheran could have told them, this is not what you want to do. Because there's negative consequences to things. And we could have explained it to them. But, you know, they're making millions of dollars. They don't care.
Yeah.
But we'll see how long that lasts. All righty. I'm glad we don't talk about these things as pastors.
Yeah. Well, it does say in the scripture, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's right. All right.
That's one time we want to kneel.
Stanza 3.
O comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife, and lead us out of death to life. Yeah, that's apropos, isn't it? I mean, peace and unity, we need that. We need that in our country.
Well, the problem is, what Luther means by that is not what people are reading.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about, remember he says, O comforter, and then the last thing is, lead us out of death. Well, how can it be a comforter when you're going to die? So the peace and unity is spiritual peace.
It's in Christ.
Yes.
It's peace and unity in
Christ.
What's
the first words he said to the disciples on the night of the resurrection?
Peace be with you.
Yes. And he wasn't talking about country peace.
No.
And this sort of thing. Now, it's not that we don't pray for that.
Right.
Our synod has been extremely involved with the hurricanes and this sort of thing.
Yes, pray for the poor people down in Puerto Rico. Oh, man.
Yeah, they're really...
They are really devastated.
There's areas they can't even get to yet.
They say that place has been set back 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. Although, you know, it was just as disastrous in the Keys. And now they've opened it up to all the residents and on Sunday to all the visitors.
Shh.
And they just say, just phone ahead and make sure your hotel is still there.
No kidding.
And the item, but it's really, yeah.
Is that a call to repentance, Tom? I see it as a call to repentance. I mean, for all of us.
I hesitate to say that because I remember some right-wing Baptist was saying, well, the reason Katrina came was because of the homosexuals in New Orleans. And the point was, that was about the only place it wasn't struck.
Right.
So if you're going to look at I don't see anything that happens is not a call to repentance.
Right, okay. There you go.
I would go even so far to say if I won the lottery, that would be a call to repentance. Because here I think I did it and I get credit to myself. No, it's just a call. There's nothing that happens in my life. What does Luther say in the 95 Theses? The life of the Christian is one of?
Repentance.
Yes. So, and what is repentance? It's a recognition that you fall short of the glory of God. So anytime something negative happens or something positive, you take the positive, you take the credit. No, you need to repent of that. And if it's negative, the repentance occurs because it can be showing you you're not in charge of your life. And the second part of repentance, of course, only is valid if you have faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's really important. So have you decided what you're preaching on this Sunday in regard to the three lessons?
Actually, I'm gonna do what comes right after the gospel reading is the parable of the two sons.
Yes,
and that's what I'm gonna preach on.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked Louise to marry me. She said no, and then she didn't. And then she did marry me. So I'm going to use that to show how wonderful this parable is. All right. Next Tuesday, you available?
As far as I know.
Okay. So this was a Luther hymn. And I've noticed that you look down to see who writes them.
Yes, I do that now. Martin Luther and Catherine Winkworth.
Oh, that's a real combination.
No kidding.
Yeah, I do like her translator.
Wouldn't she be proud to know that we're talking about her 150 years after she translated all this stuff?
No.
Boy.
She's proud right now because she's with Jesus.
That's right.
Nothing else can make her prouder. All right, Tom Baker, tomorrow... Does God hate sin and love the sinner? That's what we're going to be talking about. Tune in. Insight Wednesday, Long Gospel. Tom Baker, Mark Smith. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.